Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to this very special episode of Mysteries of Science in association with Bandai. I'm Dan, the editor of Science and Nature, the monthly magazine from the team behind The Week Junior.
And I'm Kieran, the features editor. We've got such a good mystery to investigate today, and it is going to take us all the way back in time and right to the depths of the deep blue sea.
Oh yes, it's the mystery of the Meg. We'll be looking at the largest fish ever to live, the mighty shark Megalodon, and asking one huge jawsome question. Could it still be alive today?
Jawsome, so good. This is an idea that sounds like something from a very popular dinosaur theme park film series, but the idea of prehistoric sharks still swimming around today is one that keeps coming back. As recently as 2013, in fact, a film, which was promoted as being a documentary, suggested that the Megalodon could still be alive.
I think there's something fishy going on here, and we're going to have to get to the bottom of it. This is Mysteries of Science.
Right, Dan, before we get to the question of whether the Meg is still alive today, why don't we take a little bit of time to find out more about the shark itself? And for that, I think we need an expert in all things prehistoric fish, particularly sharks. Have we got anyone that's willing to help us?
Hi, my name's Emma Bernard, and I'm the curator of fossil fish at the Natural History Museum in London. And I'm specifically responsible for 100,000 specimens of fossil fish, which date back to about 420 million years ago, right up to present day. And I'm particularly interested in fossil sharks, how they evolved, how they adapted, and how they became extinct. And one of my favourite sharks is the Megalodon.
You couldn't ask for a better expert than Emma, so please, could you talk us through the basic facts of the Megalodon?
Megalodon, mega, really big. It was the biggest shark that's ever lived. Some of the first fossils that we find of Megalodon are about 20 million years old. So that's when we think Megalodon first evolved. And we find lots and lots of their teeth. It's quite rare that we actually find their body fossils, so their skeletons and all the soft parts. And that's because sharks, like Megalodon, they belong to a group of fish called cartilaginous fishes. So basically, their skeleton isn't made from bone like human skeleton. It's made from cartilage. So very similar cartilage to what we have in our ears and our noses. So that's much softer, so it doesn't tend to fossilize very well because other things like other animals or bacteria can eat that softer material. However, sharks are very famous for their teeth. And some sharks can have about 20 or 30,000 teeth over the course of a lifetime. And as we know, teeth are really quite hard. So if you try knocking your own tooth, you find it's really quite hard. So that tends to fossilize much more easily than the rest of the shark skeleton. So if you're one shark producing about 30,000 teeth, the chances are a few of those teeth are going to become fossils. So for Megalodon, the most common fossil that we can find are from its teeth. And we can find that from about 20 million years ago, right up to about 3.5 million years ago.
It sounds like a lot of what we need to know comes from the shark's teeth alone.
Yeah, teeth are great clues for science detectives. They can tell you an awful lot about the animal's behaviour, its size, and what it ate, its diet. With a megalodon, the teeth tell us that they were ferocious predators.
Yeah, so exactly right. So as you said, with megalodon teeth, they're typically triangular in shape. They have a serrated edge, so quite similar to a knife. So perfect for cutting and slicing up things. They're also about the same size as a human hand, so pretty big. So some of the largest ones are about 15 centimetres in length. So pretty big. So we can compare that to modern day sharks. So that's one of the great things about sharks. They're still around today. And that's what a lot of paleontologists will do. They will look at the fossils that we have. And is there something similar that's around today that we can compare that to?
Yeah, they're really clever, these paleontologists. These are people who study fossils. And they need to know more about modern sharks in order to understand ancient sharks.
Hi, my name is Brendan Malone and I'm the curator at Sea Life Manchester. I've been working here for around about 3 years and I've worked at various sites throughout Europe. Throughout that time, I've been fortunate enough to work with a lot of species, including species of both native and tropical elasthobranchs, or basically a POS word for sharks. Prior to this, I also did part of my university dissertation out in Australia. I was fortunate enough to work with great white sharks.
I wondered how long it might be before we got to great white sharks. They seem possibly like the most famous predatory shark that we have that's still alive today.
Oh, totally. So everyone listening to this episode now, picture the megalodon in your mind. And what kind of shark do you see? I bet you, a lot of you, would have said something like a giant great white.
Yeah, I think so too. That's definitely what I picture. But as Brendan says, you know, today's sharks come in all different shapes and sizes, and they have a whole range of unique characteristics.
The majority of the other sharks we have in the display are what we refer to as benthic sharks. So they all have muscles in their gills, so they're able to pump water over their gills to breathe that way. A lot of the benthic sharks, they tend to be more camouflaged because they will sit in the bottom and they're what we refer to as ambush predators. So they'll wait for something to swim over their head and they'll explode onto it and they will hunt in that manner. Also, the different ways they all reproduce is pretty incredible. The black tips, for example, will give birth to a number of live pups at a time. The moment they give birth, the pups are completely independent of their parents. And they will fend for themselves. We've had all our black-tipped sharks in our display have been born at centres throughout, sea life centres throughout Europe. Whereas a lot of the other species we have are egg layers. Now, as many people around Britain will do, is when they go onto the beach, they'll find what they refer to as mermaid's purses. And these are, in fact, the egg cases of native sharks and rays. What they do is they will lay the eggs, and depending on the environment they live, that will determine the shape of the egg and how they attach. So the native ones you find here will have tendrils on each end, which will be wrapped around seaweeds and things like that to stop them being washed away.
So what sharks do paleontologists think the megalodon most closely resembled?
So because it was a large predatory shark, we look at other large predatory sharks that are around today, similar to the great white shark or the mako shark. They typically have counter shading. So that means on the top of the animal, along their back, the dorsal edge, that's normally quite dark, so sort of a dark blue, dark grey in colour. And then their stomach, their bellies, are normally quite light. So probably had the counter shading. It would have had large pectoral fins. So these are the fins at the front of the shark, closest towards its mouth, because it was a huge animal. So it would have had to have large fins in order to power its way through the water. Its nose would have looked, sort of the front of the head, would have looked similar to a great white, but it would have had a much shorter, squatter nose, or rostrum is what we call it, and also quite a flat, almost a squashed jaw.
Now we know what we're looking for, but one question remains. Is the Meg really extinct? We'll find out after this quick break.
Did you know you can excavate genuine shark teeth fossils from the ocean's deadliest predators at home with the National Geographic's Shark Tooth Dig Kit? One of National Geographic's most popular science education kits, the Shark Tooth Dig Kit allows you to dig up and explore fossils from three different species of shark. What's more, you'll get a full colour learning guide full of amazing shark facts and pictures. You'll have a blast learning all about sharks and what makes them the ocean's most most feared predators. This science kit includes a shark-themed digging brick with three fossilized shark teeth, each from a different species of shark, archaeological digging tools, a full-color learning guide, and a magnifying glass. So pop this one on your Christmas list. It's suitable for ages 6+, and you'll wow your friends and family with your shark-tastic knowledge and impressive fossil collection from real sharks. That's National Geographic's Shark Tooth Dig Kit, available now.
Welcome back to the show. Let's do a quick recap of the three things you need to know about the Meg.
Number one, the Megalodon is the largest fish and naturally also the largest shark to ever exist.
Two, paleontologists think it probably looked quite a bit like a modern-day great white shark, but with a few different facial features.
Three, there is fossil evidence of it swimming around between 20 million and 3.5 million years ago.
Which leads us to the question, where did it go? Does it still exist? Okay, let's look at some of the evidence here. Kieran, you mentioned a film earlier on that was supposed to be like a documentary about modern megalodons. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. So the film was called Megalodon, The Monster Shark Lives, which is a great title.
Yeah, I like it.
It came out in 2013 and it was broadcast by the Discovery Channel, which for anyone who's not ever seen that channel, it's a network that normally screens fact-based documentaries. And this program was exactly like the rest of those programs. It came across like a real documentary and it had supposed evidence proving that megalodons still exist today and there were people on it talking about their experiences. But as soon as it aired, people started to raise questions over whether or not it was real. And eventually, after quite a bit of pressure from viewers, its creators confirmed that the whole thing was fake.
Oh, that is sneaky. Yeah, I thought there'd be a sting in the tail. I thought that's where that was going. I don't think it stopped many people from continuing to believe, though. In fact, if you search anything related to the Meg online, the chances are you'll find articles that all ask this basic question, could it still exist?
Well, of course, we like to answer the questions that everyone's asking. So here's what Emma and Brendan thought about the idea of modern Megs.
I have to admit, I would absolutely love to see a real-life megalodon. I think it would just be absolutely fantastic. Something the size, you know, longer than a bus and about 3 metres in height would just be absolutely fantastic, admittedly from a distance. However, we know that megalodon is definitely extinct. So we stopped finding any evidence of megalodon about 3.6 million years ago. So as I mentioned, sharks produce lots and lots of teeth, thousands of teeth over the course of a lifetime. We don't find recent megalodon teeth. They're all fossilised. And that fossilisation process takes hundreds of thousands, millions of years. As I said, we don't find the teeth in rocks younger than 3.6 million years ago. And something as large as 15 metres living in our oceans, we'd probably know about it because it would be eating larger prey, and some of those larger carcasses would be up on the surface. So, we would definitely know if megalodon was still around.
I've never seen any evidence that a shark as large as a megalodon is still in existence. I mean, as with any species of any type of animal, they will evolve. So megalodons, I'd imagine the prey that was available to them in prehistoric times was far larger, which is why they had to be that size. But at the same time, to support a massive frame such as a megalodon had, it would need to have regular access to this large prey. And it would also, I'm guessing, but I imagine it would have been relatively slow swimming, so it would struggle to capture things such as sea lions and seals and things like that, which are very fast, quick-turning animals. So, yeah, as other species evolved, I'd imagine that would have, natural selection would have seen the megalodon die off, and then other species, smaller, more sort of agile sharks, would have then come to the fore.
Blimey! Two science experts and a resounding no for modern megalodons. That's good news for swimmers, but sad news for prehistoric shark lovers. But I kind of guess good news for mysteries of science lovers, Kieran.
I think so. I think we've cracked that case, Dan. I think we've actually solved a mystery for once. But as with all things, one mystery closes and another one begins, because Emma was telling us that although we know that megalodons died off, we don't necessarily know why. Brendan's idea that he was talking about there, the lack of prey, is one idea, but there are others too.
We're not still not 100% sure why Megalodon actually went extinct about 3.6 million years ago. It's probably a number of different factors. So due to a decline in its food source, so these large predatory, whales and other fish were starting to decline. The oceans were getting cooler, and it was probably losing some of its popping grounds. So we found fossil evidence of basically baby sharks, baby megalodons, living quite close to sort of coastal regions. And because water was being taken up in the ice caps at both the North and the South Pole, it actually lost these nursing grounds. So a number, quite a few different factors probably led to the extinction of Megalodon.
There we have it. We have the proof that the Megalodon is no more. It's been a fantastic investigation, though, isn't it, Kieran?
It's been fantastic, and it has got me thinking about all the other prehistoric animals that might have lived on had there not been extinction events in the past. So everyone listening to this, as ever, you can get in touch with your thoughts and comments. You know, would you have liked the Meg to have survived to this day? Are there any other prehistoric creatures that you think could make it in the modern world? You can send us in all your thoughts and comments, as ever, to hello@science-nature.co.uk. That's the email address. Or you can leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts.
And we'll be returning to the weird and wonderful world of sharks very soon in Science and Nature magazine. So always make sure you pick up the latest copy.
And in the meantime, we're going to be back with the first episode of our second series of Mysteries of Science in just a few days' time. It's going to be an investigation of full moons, broomsticks, and fanged teeth. The real-life origins of some of your favourite Halloween characters. But until then,
stay curious.
If you want to get your hands on a copy of the Week Junior magazine, we're offering a 6-week free trial. To get yours, head over to dennismags.co.uk/theweekjunior and use the code podcast.
Hey, it's Dan here. If you haven't heard, the Fun Kids Science Weekly is back and bigger than ever. We hear all about the biggest stories in the world of science.
And so they realize, oh my gosh, I think what we're seeing is a newborn great white.
Find out which science is the best.
Wow, I thought that just sounded like such a cool career that I could get out there, visit different places in those different environments.
Put your questions to the experts.
How does a mobile phone contact another mobile phone without a wire?
Remember to send in your questions on the free Fun Kids app or at funkidslive.com. That's the bigger and better Fun Kids Science Weekly every Saturday from wherever you get your podcasts.